We're supposed to be here tonight. Amen. Glory to God. If my wife was here alone, she would have church tonight. She would. And I kept telling her, do we cancel? We cancel on Thursday. I knew it was going to be the day after, but God's here. The Holy Spirit's here. And like I just said, how do we finish a year without, starting a new season without finishing the last season right? Amen. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So those that came last should be entering in first. Glory to God, according to the Word of God, correct? I don't know exactly how that shows, but that kind of works out for me that way. Amen. Tonight's title of the message is Putting on the Mind of Christ. How many here have the mind of Christ tonight? Amen. Well, we're a couple of days away from the new year, and I pray that 2020 is our greatest year of victory. Come on. We're going to see many souls saved in this year. We're going to see this church grow. We're going to be used to the uttermost in this group. I'm glad that you are here. You're the faithful. You're the teachers. You're the ones that we are setting the pattern. We have decided that we are going to take souls this year, and we're going to let the captive free with the words that we share. Can I get an amen? Have you ever had thoughts of doing the junk? The old man, that old person we used to be. Anybody ever have thoughts about doing some of that old stuff? You know, I know there's commercials on TV, and I know there's a lot of forces today that are trying to get us to do some pretty ugly things. Amen? I know that, the beer commercials, other commercials now, things are just different now. Can I get an amen? You know, and we don't have to fight. The Lord is fighting our battle for us. I mean, we don't have to worry about that. I got only the chosen few here tonight. Those that say, you know what? I'm in, and I'm glad I'm in. I know that some of you run so far from the fence, you don't even know what the fence looks like. But there's still a few in the church that want to run close to that line or that line, that they know that it's not right, or stay half in and half out. Amen? And I was even given a word for somebody this week, and there's going to come a time I'm going to give it to them, because sometimes we have to give a hard work. Can I get an amen? I recently went to lunch with somebody or dinner, and I gave them a word that I just didn't want to give to a person very close to me, and it really ministered to them. And it was a hard word about heaven and such, but I had to give it. And you know, when God gives you a word for somebody, take it to them. Don't ever think, whatever. Make sure it's of God first, because you don't want to be self-righteous and prejudging. But there's some truth that we need to give, and we're not doing it anymore as a church, I don't believe. I think the churches can be stronger in the areas of truth. Can I get an amen? Oh, sure, temptation comes, but how quick do we rebuke the devil, I ask you tonight? Temptation will come. The Bible says that we will be tempted. Don't say you cannot be tempted, because then you think you're something, and when the Bible says you think you're something, you're not. It's not really talking, and we use it sometimes as being haughty or something else. You're thinking that you're higher or above or something, but it's really who we are in Christ is what he's using those scriptures about. When you think you're something, you're really nothing, because you know what? We can do nothing without the Lord. We can do nothing without his strength. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sure, temptations come, but how quick do we rebuke the devil? These days, where's our mind at? Are you in the right place for victory whenever temptation comes? Question tonight. 1 Corinthians 2:16 reads this way. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen? And it's been said, and I've heard a lot of preachers use this, they say that the farthest distance in sin and your heart with God is from your heart to your mind. Because the Lord is in our heart, but our mind do different things. Amen? The Lord gives us our mind to do with that, to think things. That's why we must learn the Word of God. If we have the Word of God, then we have the right mind to think the right ways. It's an instruction manual. Can I get an amen? But what is going on in our minds that we would want to sin? This is my question to you tonight. Why would we want to sin when we serve a God that is so good to us? Why? God is so good. He's got so many promises. Why would we want to sin? And you got to just think about the devil, how stupid he is to tempt us when we have such a good God. But he does. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. But God has come that I give you life, and life more abundant is what the Bible says. Amen. For the most part, sin comes when we lash out in anger or boredom or displacement. This is for Stephen. He's in the dictionary, so I went to the dictionary tonight. for Stephen here, because you know, I used to do it all the time, but when he started doing it, I said, I got to go back there. Amen. And I found it. It was in that little box on the bottom of that bookshelf. It's on the computer. Don't tell me someone actually looks up at it. Nah, don't go there. Well, some people might. Amen. We have a young man, Stephen, that comes to the men's Bible study. Cracks me up. He brings a concordance to the Bible study. Praise God. But that's good. That's how we should be. Come on. If we want to have the mind of Christ, we got to put that mind in our head, in our thinking place, right? The definition of displacement is the moving of something from its place or position. What does displacement mean? For Stephen, distance is a scalar quantity that refers to how much ground an object has covered during its motion. Displacement is a vector quantity that refers to how far out of place an object is. It is the object's overall change of position. I knew he was going to like that. I knew he was going to like that. Praise God. So what does it mean? Where's your mind? And what happened when we sin? When we do sin, where's your mind? Amen. It means that we're not in the place we're supposed to be. That's exactly what it means. Displacements means that we have taken that place that we know that we're totally in God. We're reading his word. We're here on a Thursday night right after Christmas. Nobody else in the whole country is in church tonight, but we are here because we don't want to be displaced. You are in the perfect place. Can I get an amen? It means we're not where we're supposed to be. It starts with an attitude of gratitude. How's your attitude tonight? I love this scripture. I love this topic because I've spoken about attitude before, and we need to check our attitude tonight because your attitude is where your thinking begins. Thinking in the mind begins in your attitude. Do you know that people know when you are serving God? People that aren't even serving God know that you serve a God or that you're a Christian person. Do you know that? People relate. They understand that it's by your demeanor. No, I don't want you to be demeanor. It's supposed to be de-nicer. It's be nicer, not demeanor or be meaner. Never mind, I lost you there. But how's your attitude? It should be an attitude of gratitude. Do you know that if you go around and someone says, hey man, you look pretty good, say, praise God. Man, there's something to that statement. It was like my hallelujah message. When something comes at us, hallelujah. Whenever anything comes, good or bad, we need to be in that attitude of gratitude with God. When sin comes, when something comes, and where anger comes and boredom, how many is it that, you know, how many sin when they're so happy with God or God's really doing a big thing? How many? Anybody? You would be crazy to sin when God's working so great in your life. But what is it about boredom or when we get anger? You know what I mean? Christians really praise God on the freeway. In traffic. Huh? I don't get my hands. And what is it about the displacement of where we're at with God that causes us to get in the place that we're at? If we stay in that God, if we stay in that place that God never leaves us nor forsakes us, and truly grateful, and our attitude shows it, it's not worth it to sin. That's the mind of Christ. When I take on an attitude that I'm not willing to give up, listen, when we take on that attitude, and this is going to be my attitude for the next season, I'm talking about where are we tonight and where we will be coming up, and we should not be seasonal at all, and I'll get there. We should be serving God and have an attitude or the mind of Christ always. Can I get an amen? If we stay in that place that he never leaves us nor forsakes and truly grateful and our attitude shows it, it's not worth it to sin and take on the mind of Christ. Today we're going to talk about what's our new attitude on life, especially starting a new year. I told my wife, I got to get up and preach a new year message so you can't preach on Sunday because I got to get a new year message in. Well, she didn't know. She already started beating me up. She didn't know I was going to preach my new year message tonight. So why caused you to sin? What was it that you had to break down? No, never mind. Who here makes New Year's resolutions? You guys are scared. You know you do. Come on. How many kept them? Who here plans to make changes in the new year? Come on. This is the truth. Let's see some hands here. Who here makes New Year's resolutions? You just did. We raised our hand. We said, who's going to change? Never mind, I caught you now. How many think they'll keep them? Come on, see your hands. Let's make a decision tonight, amen? Let's pray. Father, tonight I praise you and I thank you for your word. I thank you to show us ourselves, Lord, like a mirror. Let the gospel, the word of God, let it present itself. It's not just knowledge or just a word on a book, not just a manual to follow for success, but let it be in our life. Let it be attached to who we are. Let it be a part of our attitude. Let it be a part of who we are, God. Let it become just like a piece of us, not just something we think or understand, not just something we know, but, Lord, that we use and that we fall upon and that it overtakes us and it becomes us, Father. Let the word of God go richly in all of us this year. Let us fulfill the word of God. Let us work out the oracles of God in our life. Let us finish the prophecies that have been spoken by the elders of the churches and the people in our lives. Let those things that have been broadcasted out of the mouth of your servants come to full effect in our lives, God. Lord, we open the door and say yes to you tonight. Yes to you and what you have for us tonight. Lord, that we would be not only successful in 2020, but that we would be successful forever and ever and ever in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints, we are being set up for failure if we wait until a certain time of the year to make changes. This day, choose to serve God. Every morning, wake up and say, this day, I'm going to serve God. Don't ever wake up with a, well, I might. I tell you what, every morning, my wife, I'm so proud of her, she gets up every day, goes in and studies. And I say, you know what, I know how powerful she is to preach because I know how much time she spends in the Word. You spend that much time in the Word, and I'm not picking on anybody, but she came in and said something about somebody was speaking a word, confirmation to her. And I said, oh, yeah, you heard that you're going to preach. And she got upset. She said, no, I didn't. And I said, I knew you had it first. I saw you down there. I read your notes when I was drinking my coffee. So, but how do you get that? Because God is the same. He is the same. If he's speaking to a ministry that's ministering to 500,000 people, or if he's ministering over here, it's his word. He's trying to get his people in the perfect place for victory, for success in God. Amen? And so she goes, well, maybe I won't pray. I said, you need to preach that message on Sunday. Amen? Then I started kidding her, said, I need to preach a New Year's message. Oh, you can't preach this week. So, you know, and then right away I got her in the flesh. She was, never mind. But we should make change. Listen, this day choose to serve God. We should make changes as soon as possible to receive the best outcome. As soon as, don't say, you know what, whenever we start to say, oh, in this new year, starting a new year, I'm going to quit smoking. No, quit smoking today. Oh, I'm going to quit eating. No, quit eating today. Oh, I'm going to quit this, or I'm going to be like that, or I'm going to be nicer. Don't wait until next week to start doing anything. Start this day. When he said, choose this day who you will serve, all that comes with it. The success isn't just one time. But if we put ourselves in a season, we will be seasonal victory. We'll only have it for a season. If I say for the new year, I am setting myself up for 1 year victory. And unless I broadcast that again or denounce the sins that I did for the year, I'm entering in. I already said it. We're finishing last. This is the last of the year, the last time we will get together, amen, for most of us. And this is the time to say, this is the last time I'm going to do this. I'm entering now, today, now, God, as you're speaking to me. I'm not going to wait for a day that the world says we're to change. Can you get an amen? Oh, I'll do it next year. We have every reason to fail if we give ourselves the reason to do so. Oh, it was just a resolution. Excuses. Anybody else use a lot of excuses? I think we all do. This is the truth. We make excuses why we don't do things. I'll do it next year. We have taken the wrong attitude for victory. We have been given ourselves reasons to fail. Anytime you make a resolution and you don't do it, you've already given yourself a way out. But if I say this, Lord, I need help in this area. I want to do this for you. This is going to be an ongoing thing. and God never fails. It's not just a seasonal thing, you know what I mean? And you know what? Smoking is not going to get you to hell. It's not. It'll get you to heaven quicker, but it's not going to get you to hell. There's certain things that, you know, that we see today, they're not even legal in the world's view. But God said, do not destroy this temple. He destroyed a temple and raised it in 3 days. But that was, he raised it up to a spiritual. You know what I mean? We need to be taking care of the temple. I'm speaking to myself. Philippians 4:13 says this. Come on, somebody. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do we have any other versions today? Or do they incorporate where they may incorporate, I can almost do anything? No, all things. And the Bible has not changed. You know this, that there has been other versions, but they say the same thing in a simpler way to make it known to people to read the Bible. The New Living Translation is very simple. I like the King James, or the New King James is what I prefer. New American Standard is close. Many Bibles, I love the Amplified to study. I love other versions, scriptures and others, to research. This is all Bibles. And this is all the Word of God, but it's the same Word of God. Do you know that in none of them it does not say almost all things? All of them say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Watch. Watch this. God's word, the gospel, the oracles of God have never been watered down. They never change. Now, they may have other versions and give you more instruction, but the same word of God is the same. God never changes. He never changes his mind. He doesn't. It's always a plan with God. I once said this, if God ever lied, as soon as he said it, it would become truth. If he said, oh, Dennis, you're really a girl, and I'd say, ha, I got you. Boom, I told you I'd have a wig. It's the truth, because God's able to do these things. Yet the displacement of God's morals, watch this, from generation to generation seems to allow more and more of the world's idea how to live, even as Christians. Do you know that over the years, I'm telling you, the church is in trouble. The church is in trouble. Not God. God's never in trouble. He'll always have an army. He'll always have a legion of angels that dispatched on our words that we speak. We have angels. I pray for Jose. We prayed before. We're going to pray again right after church. Her father's in the hospital right now having some heart issues, some other issues. We prayed. I said, send the word. And when I said that, an angel, a legion of angels, went to the hospital and prayed for Jose. Pray for him. Continue to pray as he's in the hospital right now. And as we do that, our words, because God said they would happen, happen. Amen? The church has changed, and it should not. 1 Peter 4:7 said this. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion and forever and ever. Amen. God is on the throne. He will never be dethroned. As long as God is speaking to us, as long as we live in these words, as long as we sanctify ourselves and keep ourselves sanctified, we're going to have victory. We're going to live in the victory. But are we showing it tonight? Where is our minds and what is our attitude today? You know, is the world's church flowing over into what God wants for us? I ask you tonight. Well, this pastor says this and this pastor said that and I heard this over there. What am I saying, or what is your pastor saying to you? What is the church saying? If your pastor's contradicting and saying things that are not of the Word of God, get out of there. And if you believe I'm saying that, there's the door. Go, run. I'm accountable. I have to be accountable for this Word. I also have to live it. Forgive me where I have fallen short. I've made errors in my life. Amen? I married the best woman I could marry right there. I did one good thing, babe. Said, well, you said one thing. Has the desire to live the holiest life we can live. Become like New Year's resolution. Come on. And when we fail, giving us a reason to live less than holy a life. You know, sometimes we live a life like it's a resolution. When sin comes up, we justify it. Here come the excuses. I said, you ever make excuses? We do it. All of a sudden, well, you know, I was on the road. It was traffic and I was this and that. There's no excuse, you sinned. But love covers a multitude of sin. The Lord will cover you that. Ask for forgiveness. Go right at it. You know, I sit in boredom and anger. Man, why is it when we're angry we can sin? I tell you this, we're right in the flesh when anger comes. Anger's of the devil. It's of the enemy. Boredom is of the devil. Boredom can get you in some trouble. Sitting around, I tell you, watch that TV all day, and last week I haven't felt good this whole week. Pray for me. I haven't felt good. I've been in bed all week. There ain't nothing but murder on TV. Ask George Kinda, whatever his name is. What was the name? Homicide detective? My wife knows everyone. Huh? What's it called? I told my wife, we were thinking about moving, right? I said, I ain't moving to Colorado. Man, we watched 24 hours of murder in Colorado. I said, I ain't going to Colorado. Everybody's getting killed over there. No show of hands. But have we truly given our lives to Christ? Buried the old man and all things new? Come on. I'm not calling us damn sinners, because we're not. But maybe the spirit man within us needs an attitude adjustment. We're not to be seasonal Christians, but slaves to Christ. Have you given yourself to God? Now, it's one thing to say, I've received him and he's my Lord. But when you're a slave, your life is not your own. We got to die to ourselves. And I know I've been on this issue, but the church needs to die to themselves to really know God, to really have the fullness of God. You got to die to yourself. You got to give up the old life. You got to give up all that stuff, everything that tempts you, all this other stuff, the little nonsense, the little idiosyncrasies. It's no longer. A slave does whatever his master asks of him. And do we really do that anymore? Does the church really do that anymore? Ask ourselves. Romans 6 and 1 said this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Jesus, or Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him and through baptism into death, that we were, just as Christ has raised from the dead, and by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, come on, are we dying to ourselves? Certainly we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. But he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him or her. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. That but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have we determined that, you know what, I don't even have an old life? I've told this to many people. I said, if I do one more line of drugs, I'm dead. If I drank one more beer, I would be dead. If I put one more thing in my body, I would be dead. Does that make sense? Oh, pastor, you know, you can live a little. The Bible says not much wine. And you even said on Sunday, come and buy wine with no money. You know, that isn't what he's talking about. He's talking about the goodness of life there. That when you have nothing and you're of him, I have everything for you, is what he was talking about. But we could be so critical on little verses that we'd say, we'll take that one little verse out and forget the whole rest. And some of us have said, we've died to ourselves. And I know I'm not talking about you. This is out there in internet land. We have died to ourselves, yet that I still see that old man walking in and out of places he shouldn't be. When he's all alone on the computer. Come on. Or that one woman still out there just chasing something. Or this one or that one. Come on, let's be real with each other. We're finishing an old season. We're entering a new season. Let's be truthful. Come on. I know you, church. You are good men and good Christians, good women. But how's your attitude? See, we could think, well, that's for somebody else. We've already missed it. Oh, that's for this. We're not. No, God speaks to all of us, even when it's about someone else, that we have ammunition for love for someone else. When I hear something that somebody else is going through, I'm getting something that the Lord is wanting to put in me that I can also give to them. That instead of coming at them so hard for being mess ups all the time, that multitude of love will cover their multitude of sin. And when I hear that all this stuff is going on, and maybe he's a Christian that's lukewarm and doing some things and just saying, you know, hey, brother, you'll get it one day. No, give it to him today. You know, God wants to do so much in your life. Die to yourself. Go all the way in. Quit being a part-time Christian. Quit doing the New Year's resolution yearly. Don't go on Sunday and act the rest of the way all week. You know, a lot of Christians, and I saw it on my jobs. I saw where I sat, and people were Christians, and they knew I was a Christian, and they would test my water. You know, come on, and they knew I don't drink or nothing, but they would do it. You know, they come in, boom, boom, hey, what kind of beer did you drink when you were used to partying? I used to drink Coors Light. I know some people are going to go, oh. And it's a Coors Light. So what do? They go get Coors Light and put in a cooler. What? Why? You know what I'm saying? Just to test the water. And then a little while later, I find out, oh, I go to the Church of the Nazarene. I'm like, what are you telling me that for if you're living like that? And I wasn't mean about it. I just kept living. And then after a while, I'd say, hey, come on. How much are you serving God or what's going on? Or when things began to happen in their lives, I started to tell them about the life of my real Jesus Christ and how life changes things. This word isn't for you. You guys are you're the choir. You're actually the choir. How's your attitude? What does the word slave mean to you? In the world, slavery is being captive is a horrible thing. We're hearing a lot of this, child abductions, you know, slavery, women, kids and stuff. It is a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. There's men, their wives and their kids, they're like slaves. There's a horrible thing. Slavery is wrong. Then why does God want us to be slaves? There's something different about here. Everything about the world is negative. It's wrong. Everything about God is good. And he wants us to be a slave? What kind of God is that? But to Jesus, slave means freedom to live with him. Let's read on Romans 6. 6 and 12 said this. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your body, in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of the righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are under the law, not under the law, but under grace. Can I get an amen? What then shall we do? We sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to be whom the present you present yourselves slaves to obey, and you are one slaves whom obey, you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart and from the doctrine in which you were delivered. Here it is. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. This is a hallelujah thing. Because becoming a slave, you got to understand something. It means you do nothing but what the master asked of you. Could you imagine tonight if all you did was exactly what God asked you to do? How awesome that would be. How awesome it would be. that if everything we did, he would just say this and we went and did it. We have good people that serve us, man. You guys do an awesome job. Josh, Ricardo getting here early, getting everything done so everything sounds good. Get the recording girls, getting all the equipment, making sure the internet's being done, how we're getting everything done. You ushers do a good job. Everybody, teachers, awesome. But can you imagine the Lord looking at you and saying, that one does everything I ask him? Can you imagine how that would feel? Ooh, shandarai. Horba shandarai. 19. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Come on, there's a change. There's got to be a change in life, a change in attitude. Come on. Verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then than the things of which you are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have the fruit to holiness at the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Where I was, everything I was doing was leading me to death. Now everything I do is leading me to eternal life. Come on, I'm going in for the best year. This is going to be my best year. Oh, I want to see souls, Lord. I want to be obedient to you. I want to just hear your voice and move. I want to be called to attention by God. I want to be in that elevator with so-and-so. I want to be there at the homeless. I want to do other things. I want to be right where you want me to be and say what you want me to say because I have eternal life with you. And I want to talk about those things when I get there with you. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. I'm having church up here. Hallelujah. Jesus. Woo, I'm preaching to myself. I'm going to get happy and start dancing. We have been set free from sin. But if the enemy can create an attitude of, let's say, uncertainty, which is fear, our attitude changes. That's slavery. If we can get in a place of fear, that's slavery. Oh, man, how am I going to pay my... Oh, my gosh. Oh, what about my car? Oh, you know, these tires are going to wear all this and that. That's slavery. That's not the slavery of God. Things, they bring us into slavery. The things of the world, they put us in slavery. Watch this. How about the people we're around at work or home or even church? We begin to see the real persons they are, and maybe it eats at us. That's slavery. Oh, God, that person. Everybody thinks she's such a good, see the way she dresses. You're in slavery. It's bothering you. You should be having peace and joy and love in church. I ain't sitting on that side. See the way she looked at me? I didn't even see her. Come on. Guys are the same way. Oh, that guy just drives me nuts. I don't want to. You're in slavery. Slavery to the world's things, not a slave of Christ. Ooh. Whenever we find ourselves relating our thoughts, especially when the accuser of the brethren speaks to us, that's when the liar is talking to us. That's slavery. Well, you know, you're not going to get that promotion. You're in slavery. Don't worry about that promotion. God has something different for you. He probably don't even want you on that job. He wants you on a better job. Man, don't worry when pink slips are going out and the economy doesn't look good. We don't live in a God's economy. I mean, in the world's economy. We live in God's economy. Amen? Oh, I don't know. How are we going to do it? Oh, the landlord raised the rent. Don't worry. You're about to get more money from God. God's going to come through. He always does. Whenever we revert back to living the old mindset we had before Christ, we put ourselves back in slavery. That's the world's slavery. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says this, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches us, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can we know them, because we are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, not he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The world doesn't understand God's economy. When people aren't in the place that you're in, they're not going to understand what you're going through. You need to put on an attitude of, you know what? My God never fails. Me and my wife said it about 100 times this week. I see my wife crying all week. I'm like, what did I say? And she would just cry and say, you know, God is so good. God is so good to us. He is so good to us. We haven't got no raises. We haven't got no money. We haven't got nothing's coming through or whatever. But he always makes it work. Man, we serve 23 people prime rib. And honey baker baked ham and what else? Tamale. I mean, she had so much food, I'm sick. And I didn't eat that much. I couldn't eat, thank God. Kind of having to watch what I got to eat right now. Intestines problem right now. But praise God. I picked a little, ate a little here. I took a piece of meat tonight. And my wife said, you are not eating that. Boom. Got it right off my plate. And I ate greens. Praise God. But God is so good to us. All the time. He never fails. Whatever we need, he follows through. Where we could not buy not one thing for our kids, God made a way. Praise God. People are so faithful, did things, and God, you're so faithful. You are so faithful. Listen, I have chosen this year to have the attitude and the mind of Christ, and I cannot fail when greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When people want to get under my skin, I am a slave to Christ, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Whatever happens, I am a slave to Christ. Greater is he that is in me. Amen. No matter what happens, my attitude will stay on Christ. If God be for me, who can be against me? Let's stand this tonight. Hallelujah.